The scripture we return to, as you might see next in your folder, in fact, you're going to need your folder. We're going to sing this together in parts. The scripture is Psalm 91, and we turn to it partly because, well, we just sang of it in verse 2 of the hymn, though Mark doesn't line it up quite as detailed as Matthew and Luke do. Psalm 91 is the psalm that the devil quoted from memory. He was tempting Jesus in the desert, and he quoted these words: God, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jump down from the top of the temple. Jesus did not, and that was for you. And everything written here, this was written for you too. This is God's word, Psalm 91. Grace and peace to you then, from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And say it with me, would you?
Amen.
I didn't know there would be a school shooting this week. But that's an awfully good reason to talk about Psalm 91. So is a little person being baptized. So is everything else that has made you afraid lately. Psalm 91 is about fear. It's about the devil, though you'll not see his name here. And we have such a beautiful version in our hymnal. We sing it often as hymn 440. Maybe you've got the words memorized. Maybe it's your favorite hymn, just like it happens to have been the devil's favorite psalm. At least it's the one he quoted. Can you really not be afraid? Even for your kids? We should sing this psalm in sections. Let's start just by me singing verse 1, and we'll all sing the refrain, shall we?
You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and clothe you in the palm of his hand.
That refrain isn't directly out of Psalm 91, but it certainly expresses the mood and the point of the psalm. It was written by a Roman Catholic priest in the cities named Mike. And it has become one of the favorite hymns that's been written in our generations. On eagle's wings, people call it, right? Can you really do what the psalm says, what the refrain says? Can you really wing your way to endless day? When you see an eagle next and you see it effortlessly flying in the sky, can you think of your God and have nothing to fear? The first reason in the psalm is because of God's nearness. The psalm writer starts out, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And it's just, again, it's perfect that we had McCoy up here earlier and then we had all these little people up here, because if you've ever tucked a little person into bed, or if you've ever been tucked into bed by somebody bigger than you, you've got it. He who dwells in the shelter of God himself, except he's called the Most High. So isn't he distant if he is higher than all things? Much more powerful than any other power? No. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest, will spend the night in the shadow of the Almighty. You see the very tiny person being tucked into bed and the very big, strong God casting a shadow because God is right over? Well, that's you. The devil loves despair. And despair and distance go hand in glove. God is too far away. No. This psalm says you can dwell right inside him. You can spend the night with him right over your bed. him as the one casting the shadow over you. So you can say to the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Let's sing the second verse, shall we? The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings your refuge, his faithfulness your shield. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. So one way to frame this psalm and make sure you can see how it fits in your life is just to see what the normal person might object. God is going to lift me up on eagle's wings. Goodness, I don't even want to get out of bed. It's so bad. That's why the psalm starts with God right over your bed, casting a shadow. Don't despair. And don't fear whatever dark stuff is out there. Even if you are able to get out of bed, you're not that paralyzed by fear still. What about the fowler snare? I'm no expert in bird hunting. A few of you know something about fowling, about trying to catch birds. The bird is unaware, and then suddenly the trap springs, right? That's the picture. Same with the arrows. Same with the deadly pestilence. Is it the flu? Is it cancer? It just comes out of the blue. Shouldn't we be afraid then? And the psalm says no. No, he'll save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers. God's a bird. God's near. God's attentive. He, under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. We may still object. It's deadly out there. There have been 5 school shootings so far this year in America where a gun was discharged inside a school building. One of them was here in Minnesota earlier this month. The third grader somehow got his finger on the gun of the officer who was demonstrating in the gym and pulled the trigger, and the bullet went right through the holster. And it came out of the blue. That's the picture of the psalm. We still have nothing to fear. Let's sing a third verse about that, because more stuff gets described coming out of the blue. First I'll sing, then we'll all join.
You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his
Somebody could logically object, Pastor, bad things happen. I don't know why you keep saying that we don't have to be afraid. Terrors in the night, the psalm refers to, or the arrow that flies by day, we would say the bullet that flies by day, right? How many children get shot every day in America? 16. So you're going to tell me that We don't have to, it's because that's what the psalm says. Yes, stuff will come out of the blue, but you don't have to fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. It doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter what kind of danger. 1,000 may fall at your side. This is the military metaphor, isn't it? It might not just be random gun violence, it may be organized warfare. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. God will surely discipline us. God will surely wake us up. But you can wing your way to endless day. Jesus died for all your sins, and Jesus will not leave you. His faithfulness, your rampart. You'll see in the end the punishment of the wicked. In the meantime, Is it just kind of trying to buck ourselves up that we whistle in the dark, that we sing? No, God designed us not only to believe these truths, but to sing them. The more scared we are, to sing louder. So let's sing our fourth verse, shall we?
For to his angels he's given the command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
If anyone would want to object, I'll admit, I get it. I've got kids. I've been pretty stymied, worried, afraid. And then you read about other people's kids. Here's another dreadful statistic for you. I wrote it down to make sure I get it right. The World Health Organization, so an arm of the United Nations, published this statistic in the American Journal of Medicine, so this is pretty legit, you would think. Among high-income nations around the world, if children are shot, 15 or younger, what percentage of those children who get shot live in the United States of America? And the answer is 91%. And if that weren't bad enough, if it weren't my despair that could keep me out of bed, or the dark stuff that happens, or the darker stuff that comes out of the dark, that comes out of the blue. Fourth objection. Can I really wing my way to endless day? Would be, but there's demons, Pastor. The devil, he's real. 50% of America doesn't buy that, but you do, right? You've read it in your Bible a bunch of times. And the devil's got a whole army. Colonels and majors and lieutenants and sergeants, and they're organized. But our psalm says that he will command his angels. The very part that the devil tried to quote to Jesus is such good news. They will lift you up in their hands, the Bible says. And again, we should picture little people. How big are angels? How big are their hands? I don't know. But if you've ever picked up a child, or if you've ever been picked up when you were scared, angels lifting us up in their hands. Not only do we have God who holds us in the palm of his hand, but his mighty angels who get their power and their glory straight from him. So they are way more powerful than the demons. We should sing again, shouldn't we? Let's sing the fifth verse, and then I'll explain one last thing. Let's sing the fifth verse.
You will tread on the cobra and the lion, and step on great lions and snakes. He says the Lord is devoted to me. I will rescue him,
and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. If lions and cobras make you think of the devil, that's probably the right idea. He's described that way elsewhere in Scripture, but you'll tread on the lion. You'll trample the serpent. That's part of the meat of the second half of the psalm, and it leads us to the very last point somebody could debate, the way somebody could object. I'm so scared I don't want to get out of bed. I'm desperate. I can get out of bed, but there's such dark, deadly stuff out there, and it comes out of the blue. It comes out of the dark. And the devil himself is so devious, and he's got so many demons on his side. And you can tell me again, Pastor, that Jesus rose from the dead, and he's all powerful, and that he defeated the devil in the desert. But still, last one. I'm going to die. Everybody dies, Pastor, right? We should read this. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. The psalm that starts out with names for God, Lord and Most High and Refuge and my God, the Almighty. And the second part starts the same way. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, the consistent one, the independent one, who's my refuge, then no disaster will come near your tent. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. Surely this is another big call to us. This passage, this last week, whatever troubles you saw, plus all the ones on TV, to keep praying, to pray more. He calls on me, I answer him. I will be with him in trouble. It's not that there'll be no troubles in this world, but I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And if you say, Pastor, I didn't see anything there about heaven, well, I'll grant that. But the very same phrase here, with long life, I'll satisfy him. That's the very same way we end Psalm 23. It's the very same words. With length of days, surely goodness and mercy, David wrote, will chase me all the days of my life. No matter what else is chasing me, surely goodness and mercy will chase me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for length of days, day after day after endless day. With length of days, this psalm ends, I'll satisfy him. So you've chased a few things yourself, haven't you? And you've started to figure out, hopefully, that nothing satisfies. That all the best gifts God could give still leave you wanting. God says, I will satisfy you. With day after day of seeing me and being with me, I'll cause you to see my salvation. You'll see the punishment of the wicked on the last day. You'll see the king on his throne. You'll see your own rescue. You'll see Jesus face to face. And so you really can win your way to endless day. You don't have to try on your own to worry your way out of it. To not forgive other people when they are bad to you. To be worldly, then I'll be safe. No. Trust in Jesus. Let's keep singing, shall we? Let's sing the last couple of verses.
I will protect him, God the Lord has said, because he is loyal to me. Answer him, be with him in need. Rescue him and honor him, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. days I'll lengthen, says the Lord again. With long life I'll give him enough, and I will cause his eyes to see my deliverance.
Would you please rise?
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Listen.
And hold you, hold you in the palm of his hand.
Amen.